We are going to recap the Corn Belt Classic, find out what cattle sold for last week, and answer your questions about capturing DNA on the commercial cow herd and why. So, crew, let's ranch it up. Good day, everyone, and thanks for riding with us on this all-new episode of the Ranch It Up Radio Show. I'm Jeff Tigger Earhart. Let's just get right into this one. Last week wrapped up the Corn Belt Classic from Superior Livestock. Many were watching this sale in great anticipation, trying to get some sort of a gauge for future sales and potential this fall for feeder calves. Roger Janes with High Tech Marketing joins us. Hey, Roger, you're recovering from the sale last week, which was nothing short of incredible.
Well, I'll tell you what, those buyers came to buy cattle. And it was just fantastic. Just did a little math, and the cattle we sold last year versus the cattle we sold this year from the same regions was $110 to $120 higher from a year ago.
Wow.
It go back at $1,100 more per head than 2 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
I would have to say that most of my northern cattle, North Dakota, even northern South Dakota cattle and the Montanas, 65% of them went into Canada. So we've got a scenario here. We're not only short in the United States, we're short in Canada also. And it's just unbelievable. I don't know where this market's going. I don't think anybody knows. Our customers are happy. I anticipated to be better than what a year ago, but I never anticipated to be quite like it was. But I do know that if you had the right slides on the cattle and weight stops, they bid very aggressively, very aggressively.
Roger, tell us about those slides and weight stops you just mentioned.
Well, the idea is, you know, when you plug those cattle into a profit and loss situation, you know, at $4 a hundred, just for a minimum, $4 a hundred, every 25 pounds is $100 per head. So you have to figure that into your bottom line. And, you know, they got X amount of dollars to make them work. And they were definitely looking at those kind of cattle. Also, another thing, you know, with the fat cattle market, you know, in the 255 to 260 range, you've got to make these cattle. If you buy an 800 pounder, you got to make it weigh 1600 to 1800 pounds. Now, versus, you know, $4 plus on a smooth 800 pounder. Yeah, you know, and to put another 800 pounds, you might make that work with 70 cent cost gains. But if you got medium frame kind of cattle, prime kind of cattle, and they're weighing 800 pounds, you can only take them to 1,300 pounds. You cannot back them up that far and make them work.
So if I can just switch gears on you just a little bit, and I want to talk about heifer retention. And my first question is, was there a lot of heifers that were being sold on Superior that, to your knowledge, were just going back into the feed yards versus being retained that somebody was going to keep them as females?
No, the good black heifers, there was people looking for them to breed. I think that's speculation. I don't think the average rancher is retaining them at $2,800 to $2,900 a head. He's going to pay bills. It'll be a cheaper time for him to replenish his herd. So it looks to me like, you know, somebody's gambling on the future.
So what is the big driver then to rebuild the nation's cow herd? If I can say, things are kind of working how they are right now. So what is the big driver? What's the reasons of why to get our numbers back to where they were? Why is that being seen as so positive by so many people?
Well, number one, you have to rebuild the herd or eventually you're going to run out of just, you know, in the age of the cow, you have to replace it sometime. But I think most of the ranchers are looking at, hey, you know, there's revenue to be kept, you know, to be captured at this point in time, pay some bills, and there'll be a cheaper time to replace those heifers.
I think
that's just my outlook on the thing.
I think you're right, where if there is opportunity for somebody where they can lay into some of these females at these prices. Great, fantastic. You have to know what works for your bottom line. But there will come the other day, assumably, and we don't know when that is, when it's going to go the other way, and it'll be a buying opportunity for somebody to expand, if you will.
Right. And also, you know, the corn market, you know, around, you know, a little over $4. And I think they were looking at that with the basis come fall. You know, we could be looking at, you know, cost of gain 70 cents or below, 72 cents and below. But the same token, they're going to have to make these cattle bigger. You know, 265 or 260 fat cattle, and you give $4 for it. You know, you're talking about on an 800-pound steer, you're backing them up a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to put the weight on them. And that's what they're looking at.
Success all the way around. Hey, thanks, Roger. Next up, the week in the Rockies, July 6th through the 10th. After the break, why to capture genomics on the commercial cow herd. Calf prices are good, but want to add another $100 per calf? Here's the solution. Gelve and Balancer females at an average maternal weaning weight advantage of 22.7 pounds per calf. At a market price of $4.50 a pound on 5-weight steers with a 22.7-pound weaning weight advantage, that's an additional $102.15 per calf. Gelve and Balancer females, they make it work.
What if your bull selection could help put more money in your pocket? At Jorgensen Land and Cattle, every bull is bred and tested for feed efficiency, a trait that can help you maximize production and profitability. When you lease or buy from Jorgensen Land and Cattle, you'll benefit from superior genetics, proven sire lines, and support from a team with over 60 years of experience. Our breeding program was built to help commercial cattle producers develop better cowherds and stronger feeder calves. Head to JorgensenFarms.com and follow us on Facebook. Jorgensen Land and Cattle, one of the nation's largest seed stock providers.
Some cows push to the front, some hang back, and some are just too darn busy raising a calf to compete for supplement. Over time, uneven intake can mean uneven performance across the herd. That's why Westway Feed Products Liquid Feed is available 24/7, giving every cow the opportunity to consume on her own time, because consistent intake helps support consistent performance. Liquid Feed from Westway Feed Products. Welcome back to the Ranch It Up Radio Show, the most information packed into a 30-minute program that you can find. It's your All Things Ranching newscast, and so glad to be hanging out with y'all. Questions, comments, concerns, criticisms, rants, it doesn't matter. You can call or text 707-RANCH-20. That's 707-726-2420. Our email is ranchitupshow@gmail.com and prowling around social media at Ranch It Up Show. Answering some listener questions today based on recent conversations. Breeding, branding, pulling cedars, lots of running through the chute this time of year. Now, while they are in the chute, are you grabbing a DNA sample? Are you identifying the actual genetic makeup of your herd, specific strengths and weaknesses? And the question is, why? Why would we do this? Well, in fact, I had a conversation over the weekend with a listener about this very question, this very subject. It was related to knowing what really is the right bull selection for you and your outfit. I mean, knowing the exact type of mating that is needed, not just assuming because you're trying to sell pounds. I grabbed Larry Grand from Jorgensen Land and Cattle to work on this one. Now, this is a very important one to listen to very carefully, too. All right, crew. Larry, back on the program again. I appreciate it. Let's start here first. Why do you feel that guys are spending more dollars on bulls? And I'm going to say that they're buying with confidence. It seems last year, yes, but it seemed this year even more that a lot of producers were buying with just a whole heck of a lot more confidence in what they were purchasing. Is that just because we've got a lot more data and a lot more information and a lot more predictability on these cattle?
A lot of it is, yes. You know, a lot of the work we do at JLC, you know, with the genomic part of it, we test a lot of commercial females for our customers. And when we do that, we, you know, we can baseline their cow herd, you know, whether it be replacement heifers or bred heifers or three-year-olds, whatever we decide to test. I mean, whatever the customer wants, that's what we're going to do. But what that does then is gives us the insight as to what bulls would work best on those cows to create the calves that, you know, they want. And of course, that what the industry wants. So from that aspect of it, when you have, you know, genomic data on your females, and you combine that with the phenotypic and genomic data on the bulls that we provide, you talk about creating the ideal situation, so to speak, you know, of how are we going to make our calves better? Well, here it is. Here we're doing it with genomics, with the genes of these cattle. I mean, that's the building blocks of a cow herd is, you know, is what are their genes made of? And once you identify that, then it gets real easy. It's like, hey, here's what we need to do. We need to take some birth weight out, or we need to add some weaning weight, or add some yearling weight, or take some milk, or add some milk, or marbling, whatever the case may be, whatever the customer wants to do, that's what we can do. And with the bull battery that we've got, you know, we're on task to lease about 65 or market about 6,500 bulls this year. So you can imagine the bull battery and what you can choose from. And with all the data that we've got, yeah, you, that confidence of getting the right bull for your cows is a lot higher.
So, and this is one of the reasons that I called and wanted to get a hold of you. I was visiting with a producer over the weekend, and they had a very specific question, and they had a very specific question for you and I. And I said, you got to get a hold of Larry. I want to hear some responses on this. And I said, by golly, we can make this happen. In regards to genomically testing these commercial females, when you capture data on those females, what they were wondering is the accuracy of genomically enhanced EPDs and data that they're capturing on their own females. Because is it just organizing data against the others in their test group? For example, if I have a 100 females, and you and I have gone through this scenario before of how do we go about actually developing a profile of our commercial cow herd. And we've talked about this before, the strategy of, okay, let's start with 25%, or let's start with just the youngest cows and we'll keep building there and do it every year. And then eventually we should have a profile on our entire cow herds. And let's say that number is 100, just for easy figuring. Is that data only kind of compared and can be sorted, if you will, within just the 100 of my females? Do you know where I'm kind of going with this, Larry?
You can capture and you can identify the top 25 or 30% of your cow herd. There's no doubt about it. And you're in your cow herd, genomically, you can test and you can identify the top 25 or 50%, whatever that case may be. But you're not selling against yourself. You're selling against the industry. So when we genomic test with our database, it's everything in our database. It's our purebred cows. It's our commercial cows. It's our customers' cows. It's our customers' calves. It's everything. So we've, you know, in our database, we've got close to 60,000 head in the genomic profile, along with the past 60 years worth of data to, you know, make sure that our predictions are correct. Now with our other tests that we run, let's just say, and that's for cattle that are at least 75% Angus or higher. But if we have cattle that we don't know what they are, they say, well, they're black, then we're going to use Zoetis's Inherit Select test. And what it does is it's an 8 breed composition genomic test that it's highly influenced with Angus, but it's got 7 other breeds in it too. So gives us the ability to really sort out, you know, what those calves are. It really doesn't do you any good to test against your own herd because you got to sell those calves against the industry. So you might as well be testing on a industry based platform. And so that Zoetis platform, I don't know how many, how many hundreds of thousands of tests they've got in there. It's quite a few. I know it's a bunch. It may not be 100,000 yet, but it's got to be getting pretty close. But they, when you test against everybody else's cattle that are testing, you really get a read then as to what you're doing and seeing where you are literally, in the industry. So, whether you market your calves at a sale barn or a video auction or a private treaty or feed them out, whatever the case may be, the more you know about them, the better off you're going to be. And you need to test against a database that is comparing your cattle to everybody else's cattle, not just in herd cattle. If you want to identify your top 25%, that's great, but you're really not making any genetic progress, within the industry if you're just, testing within your own self. So.
And I think I was, and you were probably grinning when I was asking that question because you said, "By golly, you're dating yourself back to the days when we were performance testing cattle, when that was getting very popular, and even the phrase performance testing." Well, it was a test group against the group of bulls in that pen. That if there was 32 of those bulls that I was feeding out, it's against those 32. And I think it's a very good question, especially for those people. There you go. That I just aged myself there, Larry, where we grew up and we were for the first time exposed to starting to capture data on cattle and starting to put some numerical values and statistics and mathematics into cattle. It was always just based on that contemporary group. That's the C word I was looking for, the contemporary group. And now what you're saying is, yes, that's what was. But by with your program, now you're going against everybody in the database. I shouldn't say going against. I should say the data is being calculated based on all of the data, not just the data within my own ranch.
I mean, we all remember, and we've got enough gray hairs or not enough hair to remember going to bull sales and, in herd ratios.
Right?
And that this is the best one. This one's 120, this is an in herd weaning ratio of 120. And it's like, yeah, that's all good, but it's just your herd, And if your average is 550 and your neighbor, on a weaning weight, and your neighbor's average is 650 on a weaning weight, his 120 and your 120 are totally different. So, I mean, if you're not testing, against a larger database to, compare where you are, you're really not accomplishing anything. I mean, in herd databases or in herd ratios are fine for internal use. It helps you identify which cows are doing the best job and which cows probably need to go down the road for your herd in your environment. Genomics, same way. We're identifying the top end in your herd against everybody else's herd. And that's the most important thing is, we've got a, I was just watching Superior this morning and watching Valentine here a little bit ago on the computer. And, there's every color of calf come through. There was kind of funny story. Superior had a set of calves put together, and there was eight belted Galloways in that, or eight belted calves in one video. And the guy would not pull them out. He says, "They got to go. They got to go." And it's like, okay, here you go. How are they going to rank against everybody else? You don't know because they're there. They're just put together cattle, But yeah, you gotta test against a large database to really make any genomic progress or any breeding progress.
Larry Grand with Jorgensen Land and Cattle. Now, we are not done there because the questions keep coming in. So we will have Larry back on the program as we put all of this information and technology into practical breeding and buying decisions, really, for that matter. So be sure to tune in for that one. As for today, at the present, let's take a break, listen to a few words from our partners, and the Ranch It Up radio show shall return.
Are you looking for true price discovery for your feeder cattle? Look no further than Superior Livestock Auction. The Week in the Rockies sale is coming up July 6th through the 10th, followed by the Video Royale sale. To consign to the Video Royale, cattle need to be cataloged by July 10th, and videos need to be submitted by July 17th. Again, July 10th for the catalog and July 17th for videos to consign to the Video Royale. Any questions, reach out to your Superior Livestock Auction rep or call Superior Livestock Customer Service at 800-422-2117. View the sale live on Dish Network Channel 997 and online at sla-tv.com.
I run a 150 cow-calf operation.
2 years ago, Nick Small of Fullerton ran into scours in his cow-calf operation.
I had a big problem with coccidiosis scours, and it went to my whole herd.
The next year, after getting his herd on a dosage of Pharmatan Sweet Chestnut Tannin, how many cases of scours did you have?
Zero. I'm not kidding. I didn't have any.
Learn more at PharmatanUSA.com or call Joe Knopp at 402-340-3323.
If you're buying or selling cattle, make your first stop LivestockMarket.com. Bred cows, heifers, pairs, bulls, and frozen genetics, even feeder calves. You'll find them all at LivestockMarket.com. Livestock Market features private treaty sales, online auctions, and live production sale bidding. You'll also find horses, sheep, goats, and hay. Check out the free Livestock Market magazine wherever you pick up Tractor House and download the Livestock Market mobile app today.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Ranch It Up radio show. It's that time in the program. We check in with Kirk Donsbach, StoneX Financial Incorporated. Recap of the markets from last week. Kirk, what do you got for numbers for us today, my friend?
Well, I'm sure all your listeners know, Tigger, that we had one heck of a Superior sale. My goodness, mm-hmm. What a strong sale. Let me start over. For the futures market, as of Friday, June 18th, August feeder cattle futures closed the week at 366.92.5. That's up 987.5 on the week, with the CME feeder index down 95 cents at 367.06. So your listeners will probably pick up that the basis or the spread between futures and cash narrowed quite a bit, with the basis ending the week against August futures at a negative 101. So futures are actually a little bit ahead of cash. Of course, that was before Thursday's Superior sale that had the daily feeder index coming in at 383. We did have a cattle on feed report on Thursday. It came in at 102.1% versus 102.5. Placements at 90.3 versus expectations at 94.5. And the marketing number at 88.2 versus expectations of 89.4. At face value, I'd call the report neutral, maybe slightly bullish. I'm very focused on those marketing numbers. It's the fifth month in a row that we've had smaller marketings than placements. If we take just May, for example, May had a 10% decrease in placements, and we still killed 150,000 less than we placed. That trend is very concerning to me. Full disclosure, I do not know when the market will care about it. Clearly, the Superior sale did not care about the trend on inventory numbers. August live cattle closed the week at 246.75. That's up 580 on the week, with cash trading 258 to 260. That's up $2 to $4. The five area was not reported, as the cash trade didn't develop till late Friday. And of course, Friday was a holiday. The basis between June futures and the lowest cash price is a positive 330. Choice boxes were up 244 on the week, closing at 394.37. They did touch 399.58 on Wednesday, but only could hold that price for one day. Weekly slaughter was 526,000 head. That's up 2,000 on the week and 32,000 head below the same week last year. Again, that's the number I'm keying in on. That's very concerning to me. Dress weights were down 2 pounds at 895, which is 26 pounds above the same week last year. The combination left yearly production up 0.1% at 6.2% less than last year. Fresh beef imports remained at 11% higher than last year, with Mexico increasing 1% on the week to 25% over last year, and Brazil and Australia coming in at 11 and 12% over last year, respectively. To wrap this up, December corn closed the week at 444.5. That's up 375 on the week. There is a pretty nice bottoming chart structure with a reversal from June 15th that is still valid. However, it is understandable that the market bulls are a little bit disappointed with only a $9 rally off of that chart structure.
Do you know what the biggest overlooked threat to American agriculture is? it's cyber criminals. Hey, hey, I'm Shay Warner, and I host the Casual Cattle Conversations podcast. I visited with Chris Sherman about how ag businesses, yes, even the family farm and ranch, is being targeted by cyber criminals, why they're being targeted, and what you can do to protect yourself, your family, and your legacy. Here's a portion of our conversation.
Dad and the sons are working on a land deal, and Dad didn't know that he had spyware on his computer. And somebody's been sitting there reading his emails, and they know what's happening. They spoofed the bank, and they sent him e-signed documents. And they did it specifically right before Dad and the boys are headed up to Lake of the Woods for the weekend, and they're going to go fishing, you know, Thursday through Sunday. And so Dad gets it on a Wednesday, and he rushes the boys to hurry up and sign, and everybody goes and signs their papers. They jump in the truck. They take off for the weekend. They come back, and they find out that not only did they lose the money, they lost the land deal as well. These are real-world examples of things that happen.
Ready to tune into the full conversation? Check out the Casual Cattle Conversations podcast on your favorite podcast player as soon as you're done listening to the Ranch It Up radio show.
And now that's going to wrap it up for today. A big thanks goes out to our crew, Larry Grand with Jorgensen Land and Cattle, Kirk Donsbach, StoneX Financial Incorporated, and Shay Warner with Casual Cattle Conversations. A big thank you goes out to our partners for today's episode, the American Gelvy Association, Pharmatan by Imagine Ingredients, Jorgensen Land and Cattle, LivestockMarket.com, RanchChannel.com, The Sales Series, Sire Buyer, Superior Livestock Auction, Westway Feed Products, and this fine radio station. And crew, so glad y'all came with us one more time as we ranch it up. Be sure to follow and like us on Facebook at Ranch It Up Show. Our email, ranchitupshow@gmail.com. You can call and text 24/7. That phone number is 707-RANCH-20. That's 707-726-2420. Spread the good word and join us again next week where it's always Tigger and Beck approved. Stay ranchy and ranch it up.